Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for listening to the best Houston sports podcast. In this one, we look at another uninspired road performance by the Texans and more struggles from the Texas Longhorns. Before we fire up another Texans postgame show, a reminder that we are brought to you by BetUS.com. We can do these Texans postgame shows for you because of BetUS.com, America's favorite sports book. Not only is BetUS the place to bet on all your favorite sports, but in just a few minutes, as we always do, we're going to remind you about an exclusive discount that we've got for you. It's a way to save you some money, support our show, and maybe, make a little holiday spending money. Yeah, that's coming up fast. Thanksgiving, Christmas, it's all just around the corner. More on BetUS soon, but let's get it rolling with my co-host and regular sidekick, a fellow H-Town sports junkie and veteran journalist, Stephen Kerr. And Stephen, in three road games, the Texans have been outscored, get this, 102-24.
Ooh, that's a really lopsided basketball score, too, on top of being a football score, Robert. Yeah, that isn't going to get you any wins. Absolutely not. And then, you know, you start the game the way you've started other ones. False start penalties. Yeah, you knew the penalties were going to bite the Texans in the butt. Turnovers bit them in the butt. Bad defensive coverage bitten in the butt. How long do you want to go on with this podcast, Robert? Because we can come up with a list.
Can we just record what you just said and I'll just insert it at the beginning of every Texans postgame show?
Yeah, every loss that the Texans have, that's probably what it'll be. We can just, you know, play that as the intro and go from there.
Well, let's get to the stuff that happened before the game, because big lineup changes this week. Left tackle Laremy Tunsil out for a few weeks. Garen Christian takes over at left tackle. Center Justin Britt was a no-go. Plus, we found out Sunday that right tackle Marcus Cannon, who was on the IR already, underwent season-ending back surgery on a herniated disc. So, chalk up another dumb Caserio trade over the past offseason. Mm-hmm. And remember that he gave up a Texans 4th and 6 for a Patriots 5th and 6. So the Texans got two lesser picks and a deal for a veteran offensive line that, Steven, did they need him? Did they need this guy? Was he going to be a game changer for them? This is a team that should have been on a 3 to 5 year plan to rebuild, and Caserio just giving away picks, and it's so predictable. We knew this was all stupid.
Yeah, now it's becoming predictable, and it's becoming very aggravating. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, now he's out with a back injury, sciatica issues, and things like that. So, yeah, yet another miss and yet another blow to a Texans offensive line that has struggled, especially with the running game. And I will tell you, Robert, you know, on the left side of the line, the blocking for the run blocking appears to be better. It's the right side that we seem to have trouble. And I mean, it's amazing in a good way that Davis Mills hasn't been pummeled the way this offensive line is coming together. It's getting worse and worse by the week, especially with the running game. Although the running game, I mean, thanks to Mark Ingram and one good run by Philip Lindsay, the running game at least was halfway competitive today. But man, the offensive line, I mean, how many different ways can we screw up this offensive line?
Are you giving them credit for the Philip Lindsay run when you're down by 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter and they're not trying to play run defense?
No, I'm just putting that in there. At least, it, you know, from the numbers standpoint, it makes it look competitive. But by then, I mean, the game was well out of reach. But yeah, it was Mark Ingram who really kept it more of the competitive way than anybody else.
I didn't think the offensive line could get worse than it got with the coaching and everything that was going on under Bill O'Brien. But somehow, some way, they continue to get worse and worse and worse every single year. Well, they had some moments, I think, within the last couple of years with Deshaun. But yeah, it's the same old story. The other moves before the game, Terrence Brooks got his first start at safety, replacing Lonnie Johnson. We're going to get to that in a second because, not so good. Charles Amenihu inactive for the 2nd straight week, even though he has 4 sacks and 3 quarterback hits. Amenihu not injured that I know of, Stephen. Did you see anything? That's the big mystery. Amenihu not active for the 2nd straight week. Why? He was a bright spot.
Yeah, the only thing I could see, the only thing I saw was something about he didn't have good practices this week or something. I mean, it certainly, like you said, no injury related. And this isn't the first time he's been inactive all season, Robert, if I'm not mistaken, is it?
No, yeah, I was just saying that was the second straight week that he's been an act.
Very odd, very odd indeed.
Yeah. So let's get to what happened in the football game, and we take it possession by possession like we do every week. And three and out on the first drive for the Texans offense. You said it, Stephen. Farrell Brown commits a penalty before the Texans took their first snap. Stephen, here we go with Farrell Brown again with a penalty. Why can Brevin Jordan not even get on the field when Farrell Brown and Jordan Akins, they just have penalties over and over again, and it's not like they're doing anything explosive in the offensive game, and you drafted Brevin Jordan. Let's see what he can do. Jordan Akins gets a holding penalty on the second offensive possession.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, Akins did have some catches today, at least, to get contributed that way, but when you talk about somebody like Brevin Jordan, I mean, he looked very promising in camp, Robert, but we haven't seen him all year. And, you know, what I keep hearing is that he's not currently fitting, I guess, the Texans' current scheme. I don't really understand that. I mean, you drafted the guy, so let him see what he can do. Make a scheme for him if that's the problem. But you can't get much worse in that regard. So, yeah, I'm a bit puzzled, too, as to why he hasn't been active.
One first down and punt on the Texans' first defensive possession, Jonathan Grenard, who continues to pick up some sacks, got another sack, so that was good news. But like I said, the Texans forced a punt at midfield on their next offensive possession. Not only did you have the Jordan Akins holding penalty, but you also had Titus Howard with terrible blocking, and that led to a sack. And Steven, God, we beat this to death, but Titus Howard did not look terrible at tackle. The Texans have two injured tackles. What in the hell is Titus Howard, a first-round pick, drafted as a tackle out of college, who played tackle in college? What is he doing at guard when he stinks and we have two injured tackles right now?
Yeah, well, how many times have we asked this question, Robert, and we aren't getting an answer? I mean, I'm not, you know, personally in line with the Texans coaches. I don't have them over for dinner, and neither do you. So that may be the only way we find out. Because what little time he has been at tackle, I think he's looked pretty respectable. But it's just not apparently working out a guard for him right now.
We sound like a broken record. And by the way, do they do broken record? Does anybody know what a broken record is anymore? Do I have to say broken iPhone, or what do I have to say now?
Yeah, anybody under 30? Yeah, when something, you know, gets stuck and it keeps going in the same spot, yeah, that's what a broken record is.
So the Texans' next defensive possession, 7-play, 92-yard drive. Carson Wentz to Paris Campbell, 51-yard touchdown catch. Terrence Brooks, not only did he get burned on the play, but because he was so badly burned on the play in his start at safety, Steven, he had to play catch-up, and he makes a last-second lunge and hurts himself, too, to add injury to insult.
Yeah, it's a case of him trying to do too much. I mean, he did come back later in the game, but you know, got himself needlessly injured on a play that it was obviously busted by that point. So not a good way to his first start, not a good way to go.
If you looked at the replay, he was way late going to the other side of the field. There were two wide receivers way down the field at that point. So I don't know what he was looking at, but he missed both wide receivers because he was so far behind the play. So the Texans on their next offensive possession, we'll move over to that because they punt at midfield. The drive ends when Tim Kelly calls a terrible screenplay on 3rd and 5. Not sure I can even remember many quick screens on a 3rd and 5. It's just an odd call to me.
Yeah, it was to Chris Moore, and not only did he have no gain, he lost 4 yards. And I noticed that Tim was calling the screen quite a bit today. There were a number of them, and most of them didn't work. But that one definitely didn't work because it killed the drive. It was actually I believe it was the last play of the first quarter. And, you know, then the Texans, of course, had to give it up at that point. And we know what happened from there.
You know what doesn't work? Screens and running plays when you cannot throw the ball down the field. And that's one thing that really frustrates me with the Texans since Gary Kubiak has left. Because Kubiak knew how to do that play early in the game where he just does a max protect. It's a play action. Your quarterback is not going to get killed, but it gives him a chance to just air it out once early in the game, loosens up the defense. Steven, they've got to figure out some way to max protect for this quarterback, for this kid, so they can throw the ball down the field. You've got Nico Collins. You've got Chris Moore. You've got guys that can get the ball down the field and maybe make a play for you. But if you do not throw the ball down the field, how are you going to run screens, or how are you going to loosen up the running game at all?
That's the thing, and it's going to continue to kill drives for the Texans, because obviously other teams are going to sniff that out. They're going to sniff the screens, and more often than not, they don't work. You know, look, Davis Mills made some mistakes today, but at some point, you got to let him air it out in certain situations. You know, I don't think they need to go stark raving crazy, but yeah, do more of that down the field and at least get the other teams thinking that you can. And that, of course, helps the rest of the offensive plays.
You know, I would say before, in the years prior, that, hey, just throw the ball over everybody's head, but just air it out 50 yards, even if you're getting nothing out of it, even if it's not even close. You put that little thing into the other team's mind. Just the defense, yeah, they might go, oh, wait a second, the Texans could go deep. So you can get away with that screen pass. So the next drive on defense, Steven, I'm doing the broken iPhone again, because T.Y. Hilton beats Lonnie Johnson. The T.Y. Hilton thing just, it never ends, and that puts him in field goal range to make it 10-0.
Yeah, and not only that, but the Texans get an encroachment penalty that didn't help either. T.Y. Hilton, I mean, the guy's been injured. He comes back, and he's clearly not completely healthy. But as we've said, you know, on previous podcasts, it doesn't matter. You know, T.Y. Hilton could be 70 years old, and he could still go out and, you know, probably make 5-10 catches against the Texans.
Yeah, it was ironic because he had 4 catches for 80 yards in this game. He gets hurt at the end of the game. You think, okay, well, he'll be hurt until he plays the Texans again, and then he's ready to go and ready to,
yeah,
to crush
more
him.
Than likely. More than likely.
So, yeah, the next drive offensively for the Texans, 13 plays, 62 yards. Fairbairn with a 33-yard field goal. Davis Mills, a good drive, but he nearly got picked off on 3rd and 5 near the goal line. It looked for most of the first half that Davis Mills did a good job. I want to come back to that in a second, Steven, but the defense does their job the next drive, punt at midfield. Then the offense punt near midfield after Mills is sacked on 3rd down. David Johnson, terrible job picking up his blocker. And David Johnson did not have a good day, because later in the game, David Johnson with a fumble, and Butt Chin O'Brien lives on.
Yeah, he certainly does. And then there was another where he fumbled, but they ruled it an incomplete pass. Otherwise, he would have had 2 fumbles on the day. So, yeah, for some inexplicable reason, David Johnson has been unable to hold on to the football. And, you know, honestly, Robert, outside of Mark Ingram, the Texans just need to completely overhaul their running game, because it clearly is not working.
So Davis Mills in the first half, I thought, was pretty darn good again. He looked almost as good as he did against the Patriots, Stephen. And I thought, okay, the offense has got a lot of issues, but Davis Mills is not one of them. And he does not deserve the rest of these guys outside of Brandon Cooks, because the offensive line stinks. The running backs are just a bunch of they're a bunch of junk heap guys off the junk heap. And the tight ends, mostly they commit penalties and get you in trouble, and they don't do a whole hell of a lot else. So I thought, okay, we might have turned a corner in the Davis Mills story. And then the second half happens. But what did you think after the first half?
Well, I'm just so cautious about Davis Mills, and I'll tell you why, Robert, because it seems that, you know, whether it's the defensive team makes the adjustments at halftime, or, you know, maybe he's been reading those press clippings. I will tell you, I like to bounce back and forth between the television and radio broadcasts. At one point in the first half, I'm telling you, the TV crew, you almost thought they were going to start a Davis Mills fan club, the way they were, you know, praising and complimenting him on, you know, this rookie quarterback who has so little experience and looking so good. Well, maybe he's been reading his press clippings too much, Robert, because it seems, you know, this isn't the first time it's happened. It comes out in the second half, and it's just the Texans totally cave in. The offense can't do anything. I mean, they did move the ball still, yes, but they can't get points, and then Davis makes all those mistakes. So, yeah, I don't know what to think. I mean, other than the kid is still growing, he shows us flashes of what he can do, But he just can't sustain it through a whole game, and that's what he's going to need to do, obviously, if the Texans are going to win some of these games.
With the broadcast crew, I think they are just reaching for something positive to say about the Texans because they know half the audience, or I don't know if it's half the audience, but a big portion of the audience are Texans fans. So how do you get them to keep listening if you have nothing positive to say about the Texans?
Well, it's probably a smart thing to do. I mean, it's better than just ragging on the guys and, you know, he shouldn't even be in there and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how you win that necessarily, but at least they were saying nice things about him. But boy, things, as you said, things changed in the second half big time.
Yeah, we're going to break down the second half in just a bit, but quickly, our friends at BetUS.com had the Colts favored by 10.5 over the Texans by game time. It was maybe a little bit less than that when you and I talked. I think it was 10.
Yeah, it was 10 then.
We thought that might have been unfair considering the Colts and Texans had identical records, but it turns out, you know, we might have seen this coming because it was Davis Mills going on the road. It's a rookie quarterback trying to put back-to-back good games together, and the Texans may have outkicked their coverage, so to speak, against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt too, Robert. And I think that's, you know, that we kind of, I think, talked about on the last podcast, as much as we'd like to think that Davis Mills had turned a corner. I mean, that was such a great game that he played. And I even said, I need to see more of that before I'm going to be fully convinced. And I guess the odds makers felt the same way because they took 10. And I thought that was a little bit much when you first told me about it. But obviously, you know, it played out. If you took the Colts and the points, you definitely won some money today.
And if you're betting on the NFL or college football, and we're going to get to some college football news a little bit later, you want to do it with our friends at BetUS because you might as well use a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS, not just football. You can take the action on any sport. And they've been in this game for 3 decades as well. Really a pioneer in the sportsbook industry. Diehard customer fan base. Easy to use mobile platform. BetUS.com, that's where you want to go. You can call 800-792-3887 if you want to do it by phone. 800-79-BETUS. And we can save you money when you sign up. Again, the promo code, we say it every show, but for those of you that, you know, haven't had a chance to get on there, it's HST125, as in Houston Sports Talk 125, for that 125% sign-up bonus on your initial $100 deposit. Again, HST125 to help our podcast. Sign up using either the BetUS link on our pinned post at the top of our Twitter page or go to our website, HoustonSportsTalk.net, and click on the BetUS icon. Get your online and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid.
Well, let's take a look at that terrible second half. But you know what, Robert, when it first started out, I almost thought, hey, maybe, you know, maybe the odds makers don't know what you're talking about, and maybe we should have bet that the Texans could possibly go less than 10 points because the defense comes out. You know, they get the Colts get the ball on the 32, pretty nice return by Doolin, but they go 3 and out. So you thought, hey, the Texans, if they could just – Davis Mills keeps playing like he is. You know, Jonathan Grenard gets a sack, that maybe this game, you know, won't turn into a catastrophe after all. But nope, apparently not.
And let's name our defensive MVP because you just said it, Grenard with the sack.
Yeah, Grenard.
Two sacks for him. Yeah, yeah.
And several tackles too. So he has clearly played well, you know, the last couple of weeks. I believe he has 4 sacks now. So he is definitely the MVP today and has quietly had a good season, you know, overall from a defensive standpoint, Robert.
It's the only thing that Bill O'Brien got right in that draft, I think.
That's about right. And, you know, it's a shame if Omenihu were in there and, you know, playing like we thought he's capable of playing, really doing some things for that Texans defensive line, then the defense would be even in better shape. But that, at least right now, that's clearly not the case.
So you're pumped. I'm pumped that the Texans are pumped. And then the first throw of the second half, Davis Mills gets intercepted by Darius Leonard and a terrible decision by Davis Mills.
So it threw it right to him. Well, he threw it too low. I think, first of all, Robert, just, you know, threw it right to him. Leonard is the one who made the interception. And Collins, you know, he just comes back from an injury. He makes the tackle. So, yeah, very poor decision. I think it, you know, I don't know if it's just overconfidence talking that he, you know, he's been hot. He thinks maybe he can throw it in a tight window. Well, it wasn't a tight window. He just threw it too low. It just had no height on it whatsoever.
So that leads to two plays, 28-yard drive, Carson Wentz TD pass to Cox, and it's 17-3 Colts. Then on offense, one first down and punt. Again, Mills looking bad. He overthrows Nico Collins on third and two. Just a short pass, just one of these easy ones that I'm sure they practice and scrimmage all the time with. On defense, four plays, 88-yard drive, 4-yard TD run by Jonathan Taylor, but the play of the drive, 83-yard run by Taylor. That, Stephen, was the third play of over 50 yards against the Texans defense.
Yeah, you know, up until that point, the Texans run defense had actually been playing pretty well. I mean, not that Carson Wentz needed the run game to help him. He was doing so well in the passing game, but still, they were controlling the running game. And then it seemed like once Taylor ran off that 83-yard run, I mean, it just went downhill from there, you know, just like before. And, you know, in Buffalo and in other places where the Texans defense just crumpled and the run game really got going for the Colts after that.
Lovie's defense, they make their bones on not giving up the big play. This was the antithesis of it. They gave up the big play. They didn't cause a turnover in this game either. That's another story with the Texans defense. And is this the first game this year that they haven't caused a turnover?
You know, I think so. It's certainly the first game in a while, because that has definitely been what has kept the Texans in most of their games. But yeah, clearly none of those things happened today. And, you know, and then you add the penalties on top of it, that the Texans just continue week after week to make mistakes. Gosh, no wonder they're losing by 40 points and 28 points. And that's what happened again against the Colts.
Yeah, if you're wondering about the penalties in this game, Texans with four penalties, 25 yards. So it's not as bad as I thought it was, Stephen.
No, actually it is not. But it's just, you know, they always seem to come at the wrong time, though. And, you know, they're either drive killers or it helps, you know, the offensive team get into gear. So it's just a lot of it is timing as much as, you know, how many and how much yardage you give up.
The Texans on the next offensive possession drive to inside the Colts 30, but Mills terrible pass protection on a fourth down. And that ends that drive. The defense gets a three and out. But then we mentioned it before, David Johnson fumbles. So that takes it back to the Colts offense, who gets an 11-yard touchdown from Taylor after a nine-play, 63-yard drive. 143 yards for Taylor, nearly all of them in the second half. I mean, that's where it all falls apart. I mean, it's a close game. The Texans, like you said, held the running game. Davis Mills played good, but then you start turning the ball over and you start giving up big running plays, and it's over with at that point.
Yeah, it's over. It's just amazing. It's like a domino effect, you know, and then it went downhill from there, as we said. And I the Texans defense, for the most part this season, has played well, but I think this is definitely the first game where they just have gave up way too many big plays. And, you know, then when the run defense collapsed, that was it.
If you're wondering, because there was another interception late for Davis Mills, his totals, two interceptions on the game, no touchdowns, 29 for 43. The percentage is not too bad for 243 yards. It was the interceptions and some inopportune inaccuracy. This is my take, Stephen, after watching him to this point. His accuracy, I think, overall has gotten a little bit better. I'm much more impressed than I was with him coming out of camp and coming out of the preseason. I do like how he moves in the pocket. He seems to know where the pressure is coming from. That's a big thing. It's something that I think Deshaun Watson took a little bit longer to figure out how to do that. He was getting sacked needlessly because he was moving into the defense at times. They praised him on the broadcast vociferously about his ability to set up his offensive line, to set up pass protection and stuff like that. The problem is I have no idea how good he is at that, Stephen, with this offensive line. They are so terrible, it's hard to know. There are things, though, that he's doing good and he's getting better at. And so, I mean, that gives you the hope that at least maybe he has the potential to be an above average quarterback and maybe more. I don't know.
He is getting better, Robert. And yes, the offensive line should be criticized for what they're doing. But let's not forget, you know, the running backs are supposed to provide some protection too. And not only are they fumbling the ball, but they're not doing a great job of picking up, you know, the defense either. So it's a combination of all of those things. And the pressure thing you mentioned, that is a bit surprising, pleasantly so. He does seem to know what to do when he's under pressure. I think Sometimes he still has a tendency maybe to lock on a receiver every now and then, or, you know, just throw a ball like he did with that one, the first interception, just threw it right to basically the defensive back. Those are the things he's just going to have to clean up, and every quarterback has to do it. So I'm not willing to put it all on Davis Mills at this point as to, you know, the Texans' offensive woes, because as we've said, the offensive line has definitely been suspect. You know, and even the running backs haven't been picking up the protection either.
A couple of things on the throws that he's making and the throws that he's not. He's good on that first read. If that first read is there and it's open, he's pretty accurate. He makes a good throw. He gets the job done. He's good when he's scrambling and he's got to make a throw on the run. Fantastic at that. He's really been exceptional and made a couple of those in this game. The one that he's having the trouble with, Steven, and maybe this is just a young quarterback thing, is that second and third read, when he's got the protection, but he's got a couple of extra seconds and he's trying to figure out who to go to next. And that's when he sometimes throws that interception, or ones that are nearly intercepted like he had.
Sometimes maybe it's a case if the quarterback has too much time to think, you know, and most of the time you probably feel like you don't have as much time as you actually do. You know, this is the NFL. You're going to have the rush more often than not. So I don't know if it's just a case of, you know, he's trying to think that he doesn't have as much time as he does, or, you know, he tends to get locked in. It's easy to get locked in on the first read and you want to stick with it, but you've got to see the whole field and know who's open and who's not and make those decisions, especially when you do have that kind of time. I mean, it'd be different if he didn't have that kind of time and he has to make a rush decision and he's throwing picks. But as you said, Robert, that's not the case.
The defensive MVP for the Texans, we said it already, the guy that made the two sacks and Grenard. The offensive MVP, this is an easy one for me, Steven. Just quietly, another really strong game by Brandon Cooks. 9 catches, 89 yards, 20-yarder was his long one. He was targeted 13 times. You can't say enough about just the solid play that he gives you every single week.
You know, I wanted to argue with you, Robert. I wanted so badly to give it to Mark Ingram just because he at least made the run game look so halfway decent with, you know, he had a 24-yard run, but clearly there was no significance there. So, yeah, you got to give it to Brandon Cooks. I mean, the guy is the Texans' best receiver in almost all the games except one, when Chris Moore had that great game last week. So, yeah, I think you have to say that Brandon Cooks, he's the guy, and he's probably going to be the guy more weeks than not as far as your offensive MVP, unless somebody like a Chris Moore kind of steps out of nowhere.
Now, the thing about Mark Ingram in this game is I just saw a couple of times where he cut the wrong way and I saw some running room. I saw some space that he missed. So that was my thing against Mark Ingram. It's also worth noting on offense that Nico Collins came back for this one and he did make 4 catches. He was targeted 6 times, 4 catches for 44 yards, 11 yards a catch. The rookie gets back into it, and that's something at least that you can go, hey, we can hang our hat on maybe this guy being potential down the road. Because when you look at the Texans, it's the big problem is, like we talk about the Rockets, Steven, and there's all these guys that, hey, maybe this guy has potential, maybe that guy has potential, and he's a young guy, and he just got drafted, and he's 19, and he's 20. The Texans, it's a bunch of old dudes and Davis Mills and Nico Collins, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and you know what I always say about potential. It does you no good. It doesn't win ballgames for you until it's realized. And so, yeah, Nico Collins, I mean, he's shown flashes, and I kind of thought that we wouldn't get as much out of him this year because he still had a ways to grow. But I've been impressed with what I've seen so far. You know, he even made that tackle on Davis Mills' first interception. He came back and, you know, made the tackle on that. And as you said, he had 4 catches. So, you know, I want to see more of him if he can stay healthy. Will he be a great receiver? Yeah, I don't know, but he certainly has the potential to be a good receiver.
Jonathan Grenard with not only the 3 sacks, but 3 quarterback hits. We got to maybe mention Kamu Grugier-Hill. Nice game. 7 tackles, 4 solo. I mean, he was the only guy that I really felt like made any sort of impact on defense.
Yeah, and we've been calling his name several times this season, and I think we'll continue to. He's a great young player. He hustles. He's got that Lovie Smith intensity. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season and beyond what Grugier-Hill can do.
Whitney Merciless, he was everywhere. No, Whitney Merciless, it's just, I mean, if he doesn't have that one sack game, Steven, you just don't even – here is, I mean, he was invisible. And, you know, again, I can't with the Whitney Merciless and all these guys that Bill O'Brien signed as stupid contracts. It's just terrible.
Yeah, definitely a guy not living up to his contract. And he hasn't even shown the kind of flashes that make you think, hey, maybe he's coming out of it. So, you know, we were so excited when he got the one sack. Well, that doesn't bode well for somebody like a Whitney Merciless, Robert. I mean, we should expect that sort of thing from him, should we not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question. Let's move on from the Texans because I know you and I are just exhausted by these guys.
And we're depressing our listeners, too, I think, if we keep going too much longer.
Yeah, they're moving up in the draft order. So with the Jacksonville Jaguars winning, you know, they're moving up. Let's move to college football. Nowhere near as exciting as last week. No Houston Cougars. They were off this week. The Aggies kind of had a bye. Remember, Steven, I told our listeners to get to BetUS and bet the mortgage on the Aggies. It was just a 9-point spread over my Missouri Tigers. I was like, what are you guys doing over there? That is a gimme bet.
Yeah, you clearly would have made some money on it going because, yeah, what was it, 35-14? A&M clearly did it. Now, you know, Jimbo Fisher was upset that the Aggies didn't finish the way they started. I mean, they came out strong. They looked great in the first half. But my goodness, it's not like they needed to finish that strong in the second half. But Jimbo Fisher was none too happy. But nonetheless, the Aggies win 35-14 in rather convincing style. Robert, so sorry. That had to be over your alma mater there.
I'm sorry. I missed everything you said because I'm on the phone to the car dealership. The Mercedes is on its way. I made the bet. It's a done deal.
Yeah, it's a done deal. Yeah, well, you know, I bet it was painful having to bet against your school, too. But, hey, if it gets you a new Mercedes, you know, I doubt you'll be worried about it too much.
The Aggies didn't even need Calzada to be Alabama Calzada with Mizzou's rushing defense being so pathetic. Calzada throws for only 148 yards, but Spiller and A-Chain they ran for 292 yards, averaged about 8 yards a carry. Missouri's defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, I would be shocked if he's still getting paychecks by the end of the year, and you might recognize him from his 1 year as Arizona Cardinals head coach. He was 3-13. I wonder why. He needs to go. I'm also starting to wonder if Missouri's head coach Drinkwitz might be looking for work. It's only his second season, but they look so poorly coached. You talk about penalties with the Texans. It's minor compared to Missouri, and they might need to eat that contract, which was 6 years, $24 million when they signed him a couple of years ago. Anyway, nobody cares about my troubles.
I was going to say, the way you're talking, Robert, if I didn't know any better, I'd almost think you're talking about the Longhorns and not the Tigers.
You got me because you were that's what I was leading into. Let's get to your troubles, buddy.
Yeah, let's get to our troubles here. Of course, I am in Austin for people who don't know, and I do follow the Longhorns. I'm a fan. You know, am I a do or die diehard fan? I don't know about that, but the Longhorns clearly have some problems, and yeah, they're 4-3. I guess Missouri would love to be 4-3, but hey, when you're the University of Texas, 4-3 is not going to cut it, especially when year after year you keep thinking they're going to turn it around for the second week in a row. Can you say choke? Well, a lot of people are saying choke because the Longhorns gave up another lead that they should have kept against Oklahoma State. They end up losing 32-24 after getting off to another great start. Problems. You know, you talk about the Texans offensive line. I mean, I've been saying it for weeks, Robert, and the Longhorns have problems on theirs too. They have injuries. They have a couple of linemen who are out, and they even have a receiver who is injured. Jordan Whittington is out for a good length of time. So, but that notwithstanding, yeah, you can point to the Longhorns defense and say the defense isn't playing well, but listen, when your offense has seven, count them, seven, three and outs, including four in a row, that is way too much time to be giving your defense time on the field, don't you think?
The other thing I was wondering is with the offensive line so bad, I feel like Bijan Robinson's draft position should move up even more than it is because he might actually get a real offensive line to work behind in the NFL. I don't, if you're an early draft pick, maybe you don't, but man, that guy, considering what he's got to work with that O-line, it's pretty amazing what he does every week.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he still had 135 yards, you know, which is pretty good considering, you know, as you said, the offensive line and what was going on. But unfortunately, the rest of the offense was not clicking in the second half, and they didn't execute when they needed to. And then Oklahoma State, you know, was just like OU. Once they got the momentum, they roared back, and there was just nothing the Longhorns could do but watch helplessly as they blow another lead at home this time in front of 99,000-plus fans. Ooh, that couldn't have been a great sight there at Royal Memorial Stadium.
Where are you on Sarkisian? Do you think this is his fault, or do you think that maybe the O-line just didn't have enough talent when he walked in the door?
I'm not sure that it had enough talent. I mean, I don't know that I can totally blame Sarkisian. Now, of course, his offensive scheme, he's made some, they actually made some adjustments this week, you know, from a defensive standpoint, and even from an offensive standpoint. I mean, you know, yeah, some of it is on the coaching. I think when you're talking about letting up in the second half, it can't be all on the players, but some of it is. But, you know, this is Sarkisian's first year, and I'm just not like a lot of these typical Longhorn fans who are probably ready to fire the guy right now, you know, after three losses in their first seven games in his first year. You got to give it a little more time than that. But clearly, there are still some question marks that I think a lot of people were hoping they would have answered by this time during the season.
Quick reminder before we finish up this show that if you're looking to make a little spending money wagering on college football or the NFL or any sport, just go to betus.com, America's favorite sports book. Again, the promo code HST125, and you can get that 125% sign-up bonus on your initial $100 deposit. If you forget, look for the promo code in the show description. If I haven't mentioned it earlier in the show, it's worth noting that it's there as long as we've got them sponsoring us, which should be for the next few months. And thank you to them. And to help our podcast, you can sign up using either the BetUS link on our pinned Twitter post at the top of our page or go to our website, HoustonSportsTalk.net, and click on BetUS. And Steven, we put up an Astros postgame show. If anybody missed it that's listening to this, and we are going to continue with the postgame shows this week. So looking forward to that. There is no rest for the weary. We're going to keep bringing you postgame shows because this is an exciting time of year.
Well, if anybody needs rest, it's the Astros pitching. And yeah, they get the off day here on Sunday as we're recording this, but they're going to be right back at it, three games in a row. And Robert, I mean, I guess if both of our schedules line up, that's what we'll be doing, three postgame shows in a row. So, but you know, as we've said before, this is the postseason. So as long as the Astros keep winning, that's good for us because we'll just keep doing postgame podcasts, right?
Absolutely, and we love doing them. And before we close things out, again, go to BetUS, and maybe what you need to do is get on BetUS and wait till the next Texans road game. Maybe bet against the Texans on the road. I'm just thinking about that with the point spread and everything like that, but give you something to ponder as we finish up the show. Thanks again, everyone.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Don't forget to follow Houston Sports Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcast app, or the Stitcher app. You can support us by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes or by telling your friends about us. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.